Now, if we take a metal ion that's present in a natural water, there are a number of different forms that it may be present in. In first year, when we do some transition metal chemistry, our typical way of viewing this thing is we will have a metal ion, and if we throw it into water, if it's a transition metal ion, it'll have six water molecules bound around it in octahedral coordination. Things are a lot more complicated than that. If we find that there are other groups floating around in the water, then we can bind other groups to that metal, and those groups will be called ligands. So a ligand is simply a group that's going to bind to the metal. In this case here then, we can find that carbonate can bind to copper in this case. So we end up with the copper carbonate, but still we'll have the water molecules binding to the copper as well. We can take our complex polymeric fulvic acids and humic acids and bind these to metals. Now these things here are exceedingly important in binding to metals. These things then are metal organic complexes. And the reason that the fulvic acids and the humic acids are good at it, it's exactly the same as the EDTA. By definition, these things are polyprotic acids, so they've got lots of carboxylic acids and lots of phenolic groups. Who remembers what a phenol is? Yeah, now that's a weak acid. So if you take your benzene with the OH, well the H can fall off it, and that then becomes an O minus. And the O minus can bond to the copper. If you take a carboxylic acid group, same deal. You lose the H plus, you generate a COO minus, and that minus can bind to the copper. So the fulvic acids, they're extremely good at grabbing metals and making them soluble. Down the other end of the scale, we've got like copper oxide. That's saying that in the correct sort of conditions, you'll actually precipitate materials as well. So it's a combination then of soluble components, things in the middle. Now in this case here, colloids, our definition of a colloid was what? Yeah, we've got particles in a volume of liquid, yeah. Characteristics of the particles. Yeah. I'm trying to pick easy numbers, 10 nanometers to a micron, remember? Okay. Now that's your colloid. A colloid's a solid particle in a liquid dispersion medium. Yep. So in this case, we're saying, well, if you have got a lump of iron hydroxide solid, and this is the classic, like in 1012 we make this iron hydroxide solid, so easy to make. Iron 3 plus, put it with some base, immediately you get an exceedingly opaque solution which doesn't settle. So what you've just formed is an iron hydroxide colloid. In nature, the two oxidation states that are common for iron are 2 plus and 3 plus. So anytime you get 3 plus, there'll be enough OH- minus in solution to form some of this iron hydroxide colloid. So it's a very common, you know, cloudiness in a waterway. If you've got some iron present, it's likely to be some iron hydroxide colloid. Very large polymers in the same size range. Okay, so very large pieces of biology ground up can end up here. And then over here, we've then got surface complexes where we're saying if we have got a copper oxide solid lump, we can bind it to some iron. So this is then a binding to a surface, so oxide copper surface, and finally just a lump of copper oxide. So these are all things that can be transported in a natural water body. Down here I've simply put a bit of an illustration of that binding of here's the carboxyl group to the copper, here's the phenolic group to the copper, to indicate the complexation of a ligand to a transition metal.